Our scripture this morning is from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship God with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is God that has made us, and we are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks to God. Bless God's holy name. For God is good, whose steadfast love endures forever and whose faithfulness to all generations. This is the lesson from Psalm 100. Thanks be to God. And these are our sacred stories. To look at today as the Sunday before Thanksgiving, which of course it is. There are also other scriptures we could be looking at, but I thought that Psalm 100 would be just the best way to begin. We are so thankful to God that for all that is ours, all that is gift to us, we've done nothing to deserve all the goodness that we have in our lives and all the gifts that we enjoy. But to begin with, we're going to go back to the little girl who says, "Where are you hiding, God?" This is, as you probably noticed, a whimsical reading from an author who lives in Vienna and has been translated from, I'm guessing, German. I'm not sure what Austrians speak exactly. But God seems to have gone missing. And this little girl doesn't seem distressed like you might be or I might be and actually have been when God seems to not be anywhere to be found. At least for the main character, God is nowhere to be found. So the child goes looking for God and curious to find God. We have the sense that this is part of her day. you know, it's not a tragedy. It's not particularly frightening to her. I mean, she's smiling and she's out in the flowers, and the whole setup is that life is okay, but God has just temporarily gone hiding behind a bush or something, and she's looking for God. So, where are you hiding God? Assuming God is somewhere nearby. Only a matter of locating where God is. And so the searching in all the familiar places. Is this the game, a time of hide and seek? It almost seems like it is. The little girl playing with God to see if she can find God who is hidden. Where are you hiding God? I would like to find you, she's thinking. In my experiences of wanting to find God, in my own experiences, during tough times, several really tough times in my life, I always knew God was there, but sometimes I just couldn't find God. Sometimes the prayer was, where are you, God? You see what's going on all around me. Where are you? I know you're there, but I don't sense your presence. It was never lighthearted like this if I felt like I had lost God, if God seemed to be in hiding. It's not a curiosity that would drive me to a search. It was almost a panic. Oh God, where are you? It happened mostly in my high school and college years, and I need to tell you, I had a very nurturing growing up and lots of joy in the family, six brothers and sisters. My dad was a pastor. My brothers turned out, two of the three, to be pastors. And when I said, you know, I'm going to start seminary, this was 30-some years ago, my brother looked at me and said, I think you can be a Christian education leader. That's the truth. That's real. I didn't make that up. So it's not so much a matter of God hiding from me, but more that life was troubled and changing so quickly that for a while I lost the sense of God's presence. And as you may know, that's a frightening thing. Frightening thing to not have a sense of God present with us. We might name our current time as frightening thing. So many things going on that we would never have expected happening in our country, happening around the world, although unfortunately a lot of those we're kind of accustomed to hearing about. I was really moved by the Afghan young man, 25 years old, who was part of keeping guard. I think he'd only been doing this a year, year and a half. If any of you read this piece the other day, maybe it was in the New York Times, you can correct me, but he was 25, and there was sort of a big deal convention going on, a gathering of a lot of leaders in the country. And as they began to come out through the gate, this young man noticed somebody looking peculiar and moving toward the gate. And he shouted and he ran and he threw himself against that person who was a suicide bomber. And what happened was many fewer people died, many fewer were hurt, because this young man, without thinking of himself, threw himself in the way of death, in the way of peril, in order to save those who didn't have any inkling that this was going on, in order to save those who he was appointed to care for that day in security. So we have a lot of unanswered questions. Why do people who are so good and so loving and so caring about everybody else, why are they sometimes the ones who are gone and the ones that we really could live without? Stay living with us, or around the world. That's a troubling thing that I have to sort out sometimes. We do name our current time as frightening, I think, for so many reasons that I'm not going to elaborate on. You are probably well aware. All I know is that sometimes we just want to turn off the television news, and news is about all we watch when we turn it on, because it just feels so destructive to our souls that all of these decisions are being made that will hurt people and will hurt those who have the least resources. So in this coming week of Thanksgiving celebrations, we have a lot of unanswered questions. Not only questions, but fearful questions about decisions that are happening in Washington, decisions that are happening in Austin, decisions that are being made here in our own city of Houston. It has been so stressful, and if any of you haven't felt any of this, then I want to know your secret. But it has been so stressful that weren't we just wildly excited about the Astros winning world championship? But we watched from afar. We didn't try to go down into the masses at the parade that Friday, but we watched from afar, and over we heard, well, this is something good to celebrate. We are so glad that this is happening. And of course, the Astros, you know, were terrific. Everybody who watched them knows what a great job they did with all of those games, and kind of wondering until toward the end who was really going to win. I heard about a man, and maybe you did too. He flew from San Francisco it was a red eye, the kind that my son-in-law Perry flies. He's flying red eyes now almost all the time since the airlines made some changes. He tells us what it's like to, you know, get to bed at 4 in the morning and have to be up, and it sounds bad. But anyway, this guy took a red eye. He came to Houston, IAH. He got somehow Uber or taxi or somehow got to downtown. He was by himself, and he found himself a seat for the parade. It was only 2:30 in the morning, but he was ready to celebrate. He came the longest distance of anybody. And I just loved it that he had that enthusiasm and that joy, and just couldn't wait, sitting there in the dark, couldn't wait, I'll bet, for the next person to show up, who probably did within an hour or so. But what joy. What Thanksgiving. What a wonderful thing to rejoice around, the wild parades, with so many things going on in our world that we seem unable to change or even have a voice in. Well, from there, he participated in the whole celebration, and what a party it was. Sort of a Thanksgiving, wasn't it? Celebration of God's good gifts showered upon us through our Astros. A celebration of life as a Houstonian, a celebration that the waters have receded for most people. The damage is done from the flooding, but people are making their way, and there is help. And I am so, so upset at some friends that I have that just got flooded out of their house and are in a little tiny mobile home in their yard, and don't know when they'll have help, and don't know when they can get things back together. I think flooding is one of the worst ways to be destroyed of your home and of the things that you really care about and love. But we celebrate this week because God's love and care for us is steadfast. God doesn't go around choosing who's going to fall or fail this day and who's going to succeed or celebrate. You know, God doesn't go around choosing those who will die a sudden death, saving hundreds of other people. God's love for us is steadfast. God's care for us is now and forever. And these abundant gifts that we are given, they're all meant to be shared. As we give thanks this week, we want to remember people whose lives are not like ours. The families that grieve for the shooting victims, we can name any number of places in the last few months where people have died just suddenly and violently, and we can't find a reason for it. In Afghanistan, when the bomb exploded, we know that this young Afghan man was putting himself in the way of danger to keep others safe. And he did that beautifully. He lost his life. His family grieves. His fellow officers grieve. But he avoided hundreds of casualties in that area, which is not very stable at best. So we think about Thanksgiving, and we think about coming around the table or going out to a restaurant or traveling to family or welcoming family and friends who come. And we think about the gifts that we receive from God on a moment-to-moment basis. We don't have to go screaming after God, say, don't forget me, don't forget me. You know what I need. God is always there, faithful, even when God seems lost. God is with us. God is faithful to us. And our work is to move our way through the lostness, sort of as you mentioned, Susan, through the lostness until we get to a better place where we can welcome God with open arms, put our trust back in God, share the joy of God's love with others, and be at peace. Even when bombs are going off and people are being shot, be at peace that God is with us, God has not abandoned us. God will lead us through what is really a pretty terrible time in our country right now. And God will bring us out on the other side, and we will have learned things that we didn't really want to learn. But part of what we're going through, I think, teaches us how much we are family, we are neighbors together. It doesn't matter where we live or what stances politically we take. It doesn't matter even what name we use for the Holy One. But God is with us. God is with all of us. We're created in God's image, and God loves us with a love beyond anything we can imagine. And we can trust that love. We can trust God when everything seems upside down. We can trust one another to talk to and pray with. And it's okay to still laugh, even though tragedy is happening. And as we gather this week with people we love, let us be sure to give thanks to God for all that is good and ask God for strength to get through all that is not good. Amen.